Proverbs chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. These are God's words. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. One of the things that the Lord has done for us is that He is perfectly generous. And we know that even when we don't see it, He is giving us what we need. He has given us especially His Word, that if we are like the man in Psalm 1, in and out of season, our roots can be down in His Word, and He refreshes us from the inside out, so that we don't even need other refreshment in our circumstances to be fruitful. And He has given us to be able to imitate Him by being generous to others. That's one of the reasons why giving is so marvelous, is that we imitate our God, who always gives, and He does give the impression of receiving. He's pleased with Christ, or in and for Christ's sake. We're on verse 14 right now. He is pleased with what we offer, but He doesn't need it. He doesn't gain anything by our worship, of course, because He's the ever-blessed God. And Israel, when they got into that way of thinking that they were doing God some kind of favor by offering Him the sacrifices, He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. The cattle on a thousand hills belongs to me. And it's true. God doesn't need anything from us at all. But He did create us to live in fellowship and community with other people who do need things. And so He's given us the privilege of imitating Him in giving. And giving is a wonderful Christian grace. You see it as something that is commanded as one of the main fruits of a Christian's life. Is generosity, is sharing, is fellowship, is hospitality. All those words are used for the generosity that God produces in us. And when He is calling us to special giving in His Word, He connects it in the same passage to His own gift. So Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them about giving, and then he's talking about cheerful giving, and he also says in the same context, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And so whoever falsely boasts of giving, we know that giving is good, and yet we in our pride are able to corrupt any good thing that God has appointed for us to do. And so even we try to appear as we if we have given, and maybe as if we have given a lot, when maybe we have not given so much, or maybe it has not been so costly to us, or maybe we have not given at all. And you remember one of the most frightful judgments of the apostolic church came upon a husband and wife who were pretending to have given everything. But he says, whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. Rain was so rare in Palestine, in the Promised Land, the ancient Near East, that at least in the hill country, in the lowlands and the Shephelah, they had more rain. But in the hill country where most of Israel lived, they depended greatly upon the rain. So when the wind picked up a little bit and they saw the clouds coming, they'd be like, rain! And then if rain didn't fall, you'd be that much more disappointed because you thought you were going to get it. You guys have had that experience where you got your hopes up for something and then it didn't happen. And it was worse because you had your hopes up than if it had just never happened and you had never gotten your hopes up. God says that if you falsely boast that you will give, probably verse 14 is talking about someone who says that he will give, talking about this great gift that he has for someone or even for the Lord, and then he doesn't do it. Same applies to all of the other good that we resolve in our heart. You come under conviction for something, maybe at the end of every day, like it is for me, or going back over the things for which you are thanking the Lord for being patient with you and asking him to forgive you, and you're resolving that tomorrow, by God's grace, will be better, and then you don't do it. That's like a cloud and wind without rain. Ask the Lord to enable you to keep those vows, and especially the vows that you make in worship. When you are responding to his word, you're reading or singing or hearing prayed or hearing read or hearing preached some portion of God's word, you're supposed to be interacting with the Lord in your heart as you do that, and committing yourself in dependence upon his grace, because in the public worship service, he's brought you to himself through Jesus. And so you have Christ and his sacrifice and his life and righteousness and strength for you right before you as you're hearing all this scripture prayed and sung and read and preached. And we are to be responding in dependence upon Christ with these resolves after new obedience that are part of gospel repentance. But when you have that intense response to God, and then you go out and you forget it as if it had never happened. James says that that's being a hearer of the word and not doing it. It's like someone who looks in a mirror and sees all the things that need to be done and then walks away and forgets everything that he saw, and is still his face is still a disaster. Well, let's not be like clouds and wind without rain in the vows that we make in worship. In fact, one of the main parts of worship is paying those vows that you make to God when you're there. And then at other times, resolving that you will come to worship in the way that God says with all that you are. And so that is one of the vows that you pay. So the other part is also true. Don't be a waterless cloud or wind without rain. By thinking about at some point how you ought to worship, and then you get to worship and you're distracted by everything, the temperature of the room, what the sibling next to you is doing or not doing, some other distraction. Let us pay our vows unto God. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, verse 15. And a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Patience and gentleness, patience, self-control, discipline over your spirit, very, very powerful things. We think, or we tend to act as if responding with irritation and harsh, gruff words and impatient passion, flying into a passion or flying into a rage or screaming at someone or being forceful with them, that those are the ways to be effective. But that's usually only effective at getting someone to oppose you. And if it's in someone who's an authority, that's even worse. However, by long forbearance, enduring much, being patient with much, persisting, perseverance, even a ruler can be persuaded. So not just those who are under you, and patience and perseverance and persistence are much more effective with children than screaming and forcefulness. One day, Lord willing, you will be mommies or daddies, depending on who you are, and you will be in a position where the discipline and instruction that you're giving is commanded to be the discipline of the Lord and the instruction of the Lord. And the stakes will be much higher then in getting the people with whom you most often deal to do what you are saying, because you are now a discipler. And the Lord tells you that which is effective, that it is not flying into passions or rages as an adult. So right now is the time to be training your spirit, to be growing in that fruit of the Spirit that comes by the means of his grace and by him using those means and producing in you the character of Christ. Right now is the time to be bearing love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You see how much of the fruit of the Spirit really is here in verse 15. By long forbearance, putting up with much, persisting, being patient. Even a ruler can be persuaded that way, let alone your own dear son, your own dear daughter, concerning whom the Lord has made promises, and for the training of whom the Lord has appointed means, and he will honor those means and keep his promises and glorify his son, our Lord, whose discipline and whose instruction you are in, whose discipline and in whose instruction you are to be bringing up your children. A gentle tongue breaks a bone. A gentle tongue can be very, very powerful. When one sees that the truth is behind what you are saying. So you don't have to play it up with the manner in which you say something, but it's really the truth that carries the force of what you're saying. And you may say it with feeling, but you're not using the feeling as an assault weapon or a manipulation tool. You are matching with the internals and the manner and the tone. You are matching the truth of what you're saying. When someone sees that the truth is in it, and when they see that it comes out of love for them, someone is much more likely to follow your instructions if they believe that you are trying to do them good, they believe that you are trying to save them. If what you are communicating in your manner of speech is that you're irritated, annoyed, inconvenienced, angry, hostile, that does not really have a very persuasive power. It's not very strong. It's not a very strong way of speaking. A gentle tongue is actually much stronger, much more persuasive. The other kind can do much harm, but we're not trying to harm. We're trying to edify. We're trying to bless. We're trying to persuade. And a gentle tongue is much stronger for that. It can break bones, as it were. So if you're under the hand of a gentle surgeon who knows how to set the bone that is healing in the wrong position, that has healing strength and power. If you're assaulting someone who's already wounded, they are unlikely to yield themselves to you. They will probably just retaliate whatever they are able to do. So whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain, and by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that one of the great things you have given us in our salvation is not merely to be forgiven of our sins, but to be made like your Son, who is your image to us, in whose face we see your glory. And we thank you for all that your word tells us about yourself, and particularly about Christ as your image, and about us whom you created to be in your image, and whom you have redeemed to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so we pray that you would make us truly generous from the heart and faithful to keep our promises, whether to others or unto you, that we would be reliable and refreshing to those who know us. That you would be glorified in doing this. We pray also that you would make us people of patience and perseverance and forgiveness and endurance and self-control, and that it would especially apply to our speaking, that you would make us those who are gentle-tongued, in whose mouths the truth is persuasive, and from whose lives comes that love and that gentleness and that kindness and that goodness that persuades others to listen to us, for they can see that it is truth and love that forms what we are saying to them and why we are saying it. Help us in these things, Lord. We thank you that this perfectly describes your Son, our Lord Jesus, so that by what you have said about your working in our lives, we may be confident that you who have begun the good work will bring it to completion even unto the day of Christ Jesus. Even so, keep doing that part of your work that you have appointed for us at this time from this portion of your word, which is the means of your almighty grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.